ahead, Carol.
Could we have, do we have approval of the minutes?
I can't really hear, but I think you just asked for, you have approval of the minutes?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, opposed? Carried. And next we have Patty Barody, correct?
Right, good morning, can everybody hear me?
Patty.
Great, okay. So today I need approval to assign the St. James Personal Emergency Response System contract over to Doyle Securities. We were notified by St. James that they're no longer going to be offering the PERS in-home monitoring, and they requested that we transfer it over to Doyle. And essentially what this is eliminating the middleman, because Doyle was the security system that was actually providing the service in the homes. So in some ways, this is actually going to be a cleaner relationship for us. I've worked with them about all the terms of the contract, and it looks like it'll be pretty seamless because the equipment that's already in the homes is what's going to be used. Doyle even says that they think that they can do the installs a little bit quicker from the time of referral. So I'm asking for approval to continue the contract under Doyle through the end of 2020, and then we'll have to put it out for bid after that.
I'll second it.
I just wanted to, I got to let my aunt, I have this service for my aunt who was St. James, and got a nice letter. Very clear about what they're doing. My aunt doesn't have to change any equipment. It's pretty seamless, and pricing, I think so far everything stayed the same. So I was pretty happy with Doyle Security.
Great. Yeah, I think that's the general consensus of counties. They're pretty popular and they do a good job.
Any other questions for Patty? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Next we have Dr. Chapman.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Bill Cottle and I are working on a grant proposal. Cody Ryan from IT, Kim Jessup, Lynn Lewis are also helping from my department. We're looking to offer substance abuse counseling, including medication-assisted treatment for opioid dependence and mental health counseling, all via telemedicine. We're partnering with three PCP offices. One's located in Hornell, that's Canisteo Valley, which you guys are already familiar that we offer services through their office. There's a PCP office in Woodhull and another one in Addison. Telemedicine will also be available at all three of our main office locations. So Bill and I want to make you aware that we're pursuing this, but also need your approval to continue, as if we get funding, there's a 15% county match. So we're still working on figures. It looks like we'll be requesting about $150,000. So this will cover the cost of new computers for my department and the other technology needed to be placed in the PCP offices. So if we're fortunate enough to get $150,000 awarded, the county share of that would be $22,500. But since we already partner with Canisteo Valley and we pay $12,000 a year in rent there, that money would count towards the county match. So that would leave us with $10,500 that we would have to add. The deadline for submission to the grant is mid-July. So Bill and I would be looking to get your approval to move ahead and continue to work on the proposal and submit it prior to that deadline.
We have a motion and a second for discussion.
I'll move it for that purpose.
I'll second it. So Hank, I have a question. So what exactly will that do? What will you be doing?
We'll be offering counseling. Our staff won't physically be in that primary care doctor's office, but we will through video conferencing. So it'll be similar to what we're doing on WebEx right now. And I should back up and say that the $150,000 would allow us to update the computers in my department. The majority of our computers now are 8-9 years old, so they really need to be replaced. So that the majority of that funding would go towards the purchasing of new laptop computers and then other equipment that would be in the PCP offices. And the whole premise behind it, Hilda, is other than the Hornell PCP office, Woodhull and Addison certainly fall under more of the rural areas. And that's what the grant is specifically looking at. It wants to support services being provided to areas that wouldn't necessarily have easy access to services. As you guys know, the public transportation in the county is significantly improved through years, but because of the geography, there's still many folks that live in areas where they can't access our public transportation. But in those instances, they may only live minutes away from the primary care doctor's office, so they may be more apt to be able to get themselves there versus traveling to one of our locations in Hornell or Corning or Bath.
Dr. Chapman, I just have a question. Under the list of eligible applicants, it seems like there's a multitude of facilities or entities that can apply. What are your chances of getting this? No?
It's a good question, Carol. Not really sure. I like to think that since we are highlighting the need for the medication-assisted treatment for opioid dependence, that will help us. And also just the rural nature of the county in general, I'm of the opinion that would help give us points, so to speak, in terms of the scoring of the proposal.
Yeah, if you don't mind me jumping in, this is Bill Caudill. Part of basically the scoring of the evaluation is broken down into a few different areas. One of them is a rurality score. How rural is it? And that one we actually scored fairly well out of, I think, 40 points. I think we'd probably get 30 points in that area. Another one is the economically depressed score, if you will. It actually didn't score as well there as I thought. About 10 out of 30 is, I think, is what we would get. But as Dr. Chapman noted, one of the emphases is, and we actually get 10 extra points, if you will, if we focus in the opioid and other substance abuse treatment area. So you never know going into these how competitive you're going to be, but I think those things certainly help. I think we'd be competitive. Whether we'd be at the top or not, we'd have to wait and see. And another thing on the match is there's possibility we may be, if we can work with Jack and Chris about funds that have been used for the broadband, we can use ARC federal match, Appalachian Regional Commission funds that have been used for broadband. We may be able to use that as the match as well. So the actual cost of the county may end up being zero.
The application is due in July. So do you know when it will be awarded?
Do not know the time frame off the top of my head. By fall, I would think, but I don't know for sure. I'd have to go back and look at the RFP.
Any other questions for Dr. Chapman?
Yeah, it's Steve May. I've got two questions. One, is this an addition to the services we offer, or is it a substitute to the services we already offer? And the second question is, what do we know about the efficacy of these remote sessions as opposed to the in-person session?
This would be in addition to what we already provide. In terms of efficacy, telepsychiatry has been around for many, many years, predates COVID-19, and research shows that patients benefit from it, primarily consistently with if they were in the office, meeting with someone face-to-face. Studies support it. You know, as you know, COVID-19, it's forced us to really, all of us, to change what we do in our everyday life. But from a service delivery end, we've been, for the past couple months, delivering services all via the phone and video conferencing. For some folks, again, depending on where they're located within the county, they seem to prefer this. They're hoping that it can continue because it saves them travel time, saves them, you know, expense of getting to their appointments. This would be a way as well to perhaps offer psychiatric services to folks that wouldn't ordinarily get them, or certainly the access points will be increased because, as you guys know, it won't require our physicians or our prescribers to travel. So they'll be much more efficient with their time used during the day as well, to be able to right from their office, whether it's in our building or from their home office, be able to connect with our patients and provide services.
Thanks.
And we've been fortunate, in my opinion, we've been fortunate through the years that I've worked with the county and run the department that we've had physicians and prescribers locally that work with us out of our offices. But so many other agencies that provide mental health and substance abuse counseling, they don't have that. And they've been contracting with agencies to provide telemedicine for many, many years, even prior to COVID. You know, this would be our first go around, so to speak, to continue with this after things reopen. I really think it would be a positive thing to add to what we have to offer the community.
I just have one more.
I agree that it's a positive step. What about all those people who don't have access to computer and internet access?
So what would happen in those instances is if they live, if it's closer for them to go to their primary care doctor's office, be able to do that, and we'll have the technology installed right at that PCP's office for them. The same holds true for our three main office locations, because you're right, Hilda, there's many folks that they may not get cell reception, or they may not get, you know, have a computer or other equipment necessary for the video conferencing. So they will be able to come to our office, sit in front of a computer, so to speak, and in front of a camera, and then would be able to have their counseling session with one of our prescribers, or depending on what the situation is.
Dr. Chapman, just one more question. I think, you know, telemedicine is the wave of the future, but will they ever be doing like a one-on-one occasionally, just to have more, a better connection with these people?
Yes, certainly by doing this, we certainly wouldn't be discontinuing one-on-one face-to-face services. Again, it would just be in addition or a supplement to it. And until things truly reopen and are safe, so to speak, from coronavirus, it would be a way to lessen people's risk for those that need it.
If we were to get this and know it, we know about it in October, when would, is this for next year? to implement?
Bill helped me with this.
I was actually leafing through the RFP real quick, trying to find out if they...
I think if we were to get the award, I'm safe to say it would probably, with purchasing equipment and the installations, hopefully it wouldn't take us more than a couple months. So, Hilda, you're correct. I'm hoping that we would be able to start it prior to the first of next year, sometime maybe in December, but that's probably a good estimate on your part. Certainly be December, January at the latest.
Any other questions? We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. I hope we get it.
Yes, we'll certainly keep you updated.
Do we have Kathy Muller on board?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathy.
So I am here to request, we have operated what we call a summer learning experience program, and we have historically contracted with BOCES to operate this program, and we've been running the program about 18 years now. Of course, under the current situation, BOCES is not going to be able to operate the program, which is, we have 5 sites, Cooper's Plains, Woodhull, Bath, Avoca, and Hornell. And it was an on-site program where the schools picked up the kids, brought them on site, and we had a variety of activities. The target population are the high-risk kids who are at risk of getting into legal trouble. They're kids from the poorest of families, and it's been a really successful program over the years. We also have a food component built in, so the kids have backpacks over the weekend. I'm sure you remember me talking about this in the past. But anyway, so I am requesting that I change this contract to ProAction this year. The total contract is $225,000. We are currently working on a modification, but these kids are out in the county remotely. They are kids that probably have no on-site visits. I think we're gonna, what we wanna do is go out to the kids with the counselors and do some type of activities with them. It's still, again, a work in progress. I'd like to coordinate this with ProAction because we are still anticipating the summer youth employment contract from the state that ProAction currently operates, and I think we can share some of the administrative burden with that. So that's my request of the morning, if anybody has any questions.
Kathy, is ProAction able to handle this?
Yes, I've had a conversation with Laura to talk about what the program involves. Many of the counselors that we have historically contracted with through BOCES are continuing to have an interest in coming on board. So I think that piece will be fairly easy to upload. I think that, you know, the biggest challenge is going to be how are we actually going to execute things. But I think my staff have some great ideas, and I think it would be a huge benefit. I think our office is anticipating a high volume of child protective calls at some point, given the lack of eyes on families. And so I think this could also be one way to prevent some of that activity, because we'll already be out there.
Kathy, this is Gary. What age are we talking about?
8 to 16. And we have served about between 182 and 200 kids over previous years has been our caseload. I don't know that we'll be able to serve that many. Again, it depends on the layout of the land, but 8 to 16 is the age group, Gary.
Thank you.
Aaron Mullen, can I say something?
Sure.
Yeah, I just was going to know. I was a summer learning experience counselor, and I noticed a big help to the kids that were involved with it. And at what there were a lot of high risk kids in there that I think it was very beneficial for, and you could see them, you know, they'd come in on we had it 3 days a week, and they'd come in on a Monday or whatever after a weekend and be pretty riled up, and towards the end of the week, after a routine and doing a lot of good things, they would be, you know, you could just tell it was very helpful. And even at the end of the summer, you could see that it had helped some of the kids. I think it was a great program.
It's Steve Mayo. Are we looking at this as, you know, hopefully just for this 1 year and then going back to the way things used to be next year? Is that the idea?
Yeah, I would like to, I mean, because I think that the group experience is also very beneficial to the youth, Steve, and, you know, that's just not possible this year. So I think this is a way to get eyes on these kids and engage them in some positive activity that will keep them out of trouble. We do have a component where we do evaluate the goals of the program. We have a parent study, a teacher study, and then a student attestation that we do at the end. And we have had very positive results that come out of the program. So
I think I just saw in one of our emails, the idea was that summer camps, which I assume this would sort of fall under, would be open on the 29th. Is it the transportation with the schools that's the problem then for this year?
I think it's the transportation as well as the social distancing rules. I don't know how they would have been able to comply with that.
And this is Jack. Quite frankly, we were a little surprised about the summer camp announcement. I mean, I know that's going to benefit a lot of kids, so I'm not arguing with it. But GST BOCES, when they canceled summer learning experience, I think we're under the assumption that those programs would not be permitted. So this would be a measure to fill the gap.
And they're not that's not going to change their thinking at all, as far as we know at this point.
I don't think so, Kathy. Do you? I mean, they'd have a heck of a lot of work to stand that up to get it back going.
Yeah, I don't think so either, Jack. Yeah, that's why we were going to continue to go forward and try to do something a little bit different this year and then resume next year.
Any other questions for Kathy? Do we have a motion?
I'll move it. I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you for these kids who really do need it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your support.
Good morning, Darlene.
Good morning. I have just two agenda items this morning. The first one is the resolution to enter to renew the Finger Lakes County's mutual aid agreement. This is done every 5 years, and from your resolution, you know, it essentially it's just it's so that during times of crisis, we can utilize other counties within this who have entered into this agreement, which is all of our say network counties, to assist and support one another. You know, that doesn't help so much with COVID because we're all working on our own. But if it was only one county affected or two counties affected with something, then the other counties within the agreement would be able to help out.
Any questions, Kathy? We have a motion.
I'll move it. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Okay, thank you. And the last item is the annual preschool transportation bid. We've got the three of them there in front of you, three contracts, I should say, with two different vendors, Durham and Bernie. And of course, going with the the lower bid on the three contracts. This is pretty standard.
Right. We have a motion.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Thanks, Darlene.
You're welcome.
Jack, are you on?
I'm on. Nothing from me.
Okay. Any other business?
I have a couple things. Can I talk? Hilda.
Sure.
So a couple things. I forwarded a letter from the city manager in Corning thanking the county for all of help they've given to the city from the pandemic, and especially, Jack and Darlene, Tim, Jim Allard, Brooks Baker, for all the work that has helped, that's helped the city. So I wanted to make sure I note it here, but I also sent it to everybody in an email. And he couldn't say enough about Jack and Darlene and Tim about the work they've done. So thank you so much for all your help. Another pro action meeting. I didn't realize that this was what Kathy just said, but pro action, I wanted to note that pro action had approved, they've approved a $750,000 PPP loan for pro action. We're not probably going to need it all, but this will help to, you know, obviously to carry them forward with the payroll. So just wanted to make sure you knew that we applied for it and we got it. The agency is now well funded and they're positioning it for the future. So it's really a big help because we certainly don't want to stop any of the activities that ProAction is in charge of. The next thing I was going to mention was the Hunger Coalition. We had a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and just wanted to note that Steuben, obviously because of the pandemic, Steuben County is more than 20% higher for food distribution and households served. The food bank of the Southern Tier is 50% higher, but the county ourselves was a little over 20% higher. And now they've developed new partnerships. They've now got RSVP volunteers. We've got the county's DPW helping for those big distributions they've been doing. We have teachers volunteering since they had time. And we also have Corning Incorporated employees that are volunteering. So all together, they've been working hard to get the food out to people who need it. And the other thing was, I was on the radio today with Frankly Speaking. It was supposed to be a 10-minute interview, but it ended up being a whole half hour. And I think, Jack, you followed me after that. Talking about the Prevention Coalition and the surveys that have been done between the kids and the parents. I think I forwarded all that to you already, but just a quick note that marijuana use by eighth graders in our county, for all those 16 school districts, marijuana use by eighth graders ranks higher than the national average, and it's increasing. So that to me is a scary statistic. Seniors in high school report less use of alcohol, marijuana, and opioids, but they have been binge drinking, and sophomores as well. So sophomores and reported anyway in these studies that we've done, binge drinking and for seniors and sophomores is up. Vaping, huge issue, which I think everybody already knew that. But something I didn't realize was excessive use of energy drinks. I didn't realize that. I don't drink those, but they're huge caffeine. They have a huge amount of caffeine in them, and kids are using them. The spike, if you look at that, those charts I sent, you'll see that it went up a huge number. So to me, those are scary things. So I wanted to point that out, and that's it.
All right, any other business?
I have a question for Hilda. Why would ProAction qualify for PPP? Are they revenue-based?
I wondered the same thing. I was surprised. But apparently they qualify because of the nature of their business. I don't know. Maybe Robin knows, but I was very surprised when I heard they were applying for it, let alone getting it.
Yeah, CSS Workforce Development also, I talked to you folks about the state holding the federal funding. CSS applied for PPP as well and received it. So the fact that they're nonprofit wasn't prohibitive. My assumption was they wouldn't qualify either, but that assumption was wrong.
Okay.
Now they will probably won't use it all. And I guess what they don't use, they get back. So, but it does give them the cushion for, because, you know, most of ProAction is funded by federal and state grants. And you never know what's going to happen with that. Now it's kind of here, but this will help them get through that.
Any other discussion? If not, could we have a motion to adjourn?
Move it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Adjourned.